Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Colorado Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports. It is Wednesday. It's February 26th. The Avalanche have a game today. Before heading out to morning skate, I do want to bring to you the next edition of the Avalanche trade board, which I published late last night. Well, not too late, 7 o'clock-ish Mountain Time. Last night on ColoradoHockeyNow.com, so I want to talk about that trade board. I want to talk about some of the names that are being surfaced on the market, who the Avalanche could be interested, and of course, if the Avalanche are even interested in making these types of moves. So let's kind of get into it. A lot of these guys have been on the trade board before, but let's break into it because we do have some new names on there, some exciting names, depending on if you are a believer that some of these names are exciting. I do want to add a little bit of a spoiler. Sidney Crosby's not on the trade board. I still don't think that's a reasonable option as much as we all want it to happen. Until Sidney Crosby says otherwise, that is not an option that that I think is realistic. So let's get into it. The March 7 trade deadline, we're only 9 days away now, and the Avs need depth scoring like it's nobody's business. They need depth in all kinds of ways. Like, if you look at the roster right now, like, to be completely blunt, and I know there are some injury issues with Valeri Nichushkin, but it sounds like he might be back today. Again, this is before morning skate, so we don't have an announcement yet. It's sounding like he could be back. But Nathan MacKinnon, Arturi Lehkonen, Marty Necas, Jonathan Drouin, Valeri Nichushkin. Those are five forwards that you're going to play every single time they're healthy. Are they always going to be healthy? That's a good question because you're going to need 13 good forwards. Logan O'Connor, Jack Drury. I'd throw one of Kiviranta or Parker Kelly into that, but not both, because to me, those are two guys that should be fighting for ice time. So you have about six-ish, seven-ish, eight-ish forwards. You need like four of them. You got to figure out the Miles Wood thing. You got to figure out the Casey Mittelstadt thing. You got to figure out the Ross Colton thing. Whether it's those players finding someone to play with them to kind of rejuvenate and reinvigorate their game, or whether it's shipping them out the door. Whether now we're in the off season. You know, it kind of depends what Chris McFarland has up his sleeve. And then of course, having an extra forward to play, because Kiviranta and Kelly, I still think you should have one of those guys in a lineup at any given time. And to me right now, it's Parker Kelly. So let's say you have Parker Kelly on the fourth line with Jack Drury, who I think is a better suited fourth line center. Obviously, I'm not saying for the trade deadline, because who the hell knows if the Avs can solve both 2C and 3C all at once. But let's say Parker Kelly, Jack Drury, and Logan O'Connor were your fourth line, and then you have your top five players, which I just mentioned. That leaves a giant question mark in the entire third line and the second line center role. So there's a lot that needs to be done, and we haven't even talked about the defense, where you have Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Samuel Girard, an injured Josh Manson, and a whole bunch of nothing after that. So let's get into it. Here's what I have on the trade board. Number one, Braden Schenn, centerman, St. Louis Blues, 33 years old, $6.5 million cap hit. He is a UFA in 2028. Braden Schenn is a gamble, obviously, given his age. Three more years left on his contract. But he is one of Nathan MacKinnon's closest friends and a proven winner with leadership qualities. They do a lot of training together in the offseason, and I think that's important. Acquiring him changes the dynamic of the Avs' room, something they desperately need. If you read Colleen Flynn's article on Tuesday, you've seen it by now. Several of the Avalanche players have said and did admit at practice on Tuesday morning that team morale is low, and it's because they came out of the Four Nations break feeling pretty good about how they played going into it and went on to drop two very bad, embarrassing games to two winnable games against two bad teams. I also think Braden Schenn solves the problem of, and I know this sounds like such a silly thing, but it matters. It really, truly does. Nathan MacKinnon hasn't had a leader in the room that he looks up to since Andrew Cogliano retired, Eric Johnson left via free agency, and of course, Gabriel Landeskog struggling with injuries. Woof, that was a tough sentence. Without EJ, without Cogs, without Landeskog, even Zach Parise for that short stint last year, He doesn't have that veteran that he looks up to. And I know Braden Schenn's only 4 years older than him, but that is a big four-year difference. If you ask me, I mean, Eric Johnson's only a couple years older than that anyway, or maybe 3 years older than that. So that also solves that kind of an issue. Here's the thing. Braden Schenn on pace for 46 points. That's how many he had last year. And it's a big question to ask. Are his numbers dropping because the Blues just aren't a good team and aren't that deep? Or is it because Father Time is catching up to him? Because if you ask me, it's a little bit of both. The only thing that you got to determine here is which one is the bigger factor. Is it because of Father Time or because the Blues are struggling? Because if it's because of Father Time, this could be the next Ryan Johansson. Not the same extent, completely different player, completely different mindset. But it could kind of go more toward that route. If it's more of the team is struggling and obviously his numbers will dip with them, then that makes it sound more like having him in a system like this, playing with guys like Nichushkin and Lekkonen and whoever the fuck, like, could bring his numbers up. So Braden Schenn's on my trade board. And by the way, these are in no particular order. Next on my trade board, you guys have heard the name before, Ryan O'Reilly, centerman, Nashville Predators, 34 years old, $4.5 million cap hit, UFA in 2027. If there's anything that gives you a little bit of hope that acquiring Braden Schenn could re-up his numbers, it's the way Ryan O'Reilly's career ended in St. Louis. They were struggling, he was struggling, went to Toronto, played much better, signs with Nashville, has an excellent season last year. This year, not as well, but still better than he was doing with the Blues. So obviously the only difference is O'Reilly was 32 at the time instead of 33, but it's only a 1 year difference. So it kind of makes you feel like, hey, getting Braden Schenn out of St. Louis maybe isn't the worst thing in the world. But let's go to Ryan O'Reilly. For all the reasons why Braden Schenn fits, Ryan O'Reilly doesn't. And for all the reasons why Braden Schenn might be a question mark, I don't think it's as much for O'Reilly. So in terms of the player, his abilities, the term remaining on his contract, only 2 years instead of three, the fact that it's 4.5 instead of 6.5, which makes it easier to stomach as a third line center if his play starts to dwindle over the next couple of years, all of those things make him a better option than Schenn. However, he doesn't have a great relationship with Joe Sakic, the team and player. They divorced each other a decade ago. I cannot believe it's been friggin' 10 years, but they don't have a great relationship. So does he even want to come back? I honestly don't believe so. Maybe things will change if, you know, Joe Sakic picks up the phone and calls you. I don't know, but it sounds like that's not going to be the case. And, you know, all the things that I mentioned about Braden Schenn and what he means to Nathan MacKinnon, I don't think MacKinnon's got much of a relationship with Ryan O'Reilly. I don't know that for sure, but that's the way it comes off for a lot of the former teammates that MacKinnon has a strong relationship with. I don't know for sure that Ryan O'Reilly is one of them. So I don't know if he ever wanted to come back here. Maybe that'll change. Centerman number three, Brock Nelson. This one would be a little bit different. So the reason why it would be different is because, like I said, crossroads, remake the roster, do what you got to do, trade deadline, offseason, maybe win a cup, maybe not. Brock Nelson would be more toward that route, and here is why. If you try to trade for Brock Nelson, and instead of giving up high picks and things like that that the New York Islanders would want, what if you call your Chris McFarland, you call Lou Lamoriello, and you say, hey, would you be willing to accept Casey Middlestad as part of the package for Brock Nelson? Hear me out. It sounds crazy. Casey Middlestad's a young forward. You trade Bo and Byram for him. What do you mean ship him off for a 33-year-old centerman making $6 million who's a pending UFA in July and a pure rental? Basically, what it does is it gives the Avalanche the ability to play Brock Nelson this year, use him for the playoff run. Hopefully, he helps. Hopefully, you go on a deep run. You do some other moves. You like it. If it doesn't go well, it opens up $5.75 million in cap space because you no longer have Casey Middlestad on the roster. You can probably still get something for Middlestad elsewhere, but that doesn't solve this year's problem of needing someone to play second line center. So if you were to do that, and if you were to go this route in the summer, it opens up 5.75 and gets Middlestad off the roster. Yes, I know that means you pretty much got nothing for Bowen Byram 14 months later. But the reality is you cannot undo that trade. That trade's already happened. Holding on to Casey Middlestad just because we trade a Byram for this guy is not the right way to go. And trying to sit here and convince yourself that you're going to get something that good because you traded Byram for this player also is not going to get you anywhere. So this would be the option where you get Brock Nelson, you use him, he's gone, Mittelstadt's gone, the second line center position is open, the cap goes up, you've already traded Mikko Rantanen for a player making $6.5 million and a centerman making 1.75. Go fucking nuts in the offseason. Next on the list, Brad Marchand. He was on my last trade board, so I won't talk about him as much. But again, veteran, forward, someone Nathan MacKinnon trusts, someone Nathan MacKinnon looks up to, leader, immaculate vibes, tenacious player, tenacious playoff performer. All the things Braden Schenn brings, Brad Marchand brings. He's a UFA in July. If the Bruins were actually to trade Brad Marchand, and if he was to actually come here, I could see him signing and ending his career here, kind of like Patrick Kane in Detroit. But it's a matter of if the Bruins want that to happen. Is he another example of O'Reilly leaving St. Louis and you know, even better example, Steve Stamkos leaving Tampa? Or is this a guy that they want to be a franchise legend who finishes his career with one team? Anybody's guess, but he's got a relationship with Nathan MacKinnon. He just played with Cale Makar and Devon Toews at Four Nations. He's another option. Scott Laughton was also on my last trade board. 35 to 40 point type of guy. Plays with an edge, big addition to the PK. If you trade for him, and it would probably cost you a first rounder, which you don't have this year because the team Scott Laughton plays for has that first rounder, so you would have to give them next year's first rounder, or maybe, you know, Wood, Colton, someone like that as part of a trade, and a second rounder or something. I don't know. So if you were to trade for Scott Laughton, he's a guy who's 30 years old, so still, you know, pretty much prime age, makes $3 million next year as well. So if you were to get Scott Laughton, you're basically committing Scott Laughton at $3 million, Jack Drury at 1.75. Those are your third and fourth line centermen. Not a bad look, honestly. Like, those are not bad players to have at three and four on the center scale. A new addition. Actually, before I get to the new addition, let's finish off the last two forwards. Yanni Gord and Jake Evans, both rentals, different types of players. Jake Evans, type of guy that you'd bring in for a playoff run and then nothing else. But if Montreal is going to continue to drive a hard bargain, you steer clear of that. You go for Yanni Gord, who's been injured for a lot of the year, trying to come back as early as March 4 so he can get a game or two in to entice teams to trade for him. He has Stanley Cup pedigree, would instantly give the Avalanche more of that tenacity on the third or fourth line. Translates well to the playoffs. His salary is high. A bit of retention could do the trick. Now, with the forwards, let's move on to the new addition. Lawson Crouse, Utah Hockey Club. Is he actually available? I don't know. His name has surfaced a little bit. And the reason why is because he's got 8 goals, 4 assists in 57 games. It's been that bad. Lawson Crouse is coming off 3 years in a row. The first year, he had 20 goals and 34 points in 65 games. The next year, 24 goals and 45 points in 77 games. And then last year, it dipped a little bit, 23 goals, 42 points in 81 games. Big body, physical edge, plays in all situations. I freaking love this player. Best part, locked up for 2 more years at $4.3 million. For whatever reason, he is struggling this year. But that doesn't mean his career is over. He's 27 years old. We've seen it before from this guy. He's got a big proof of concept sample 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row of being right around that 40-point mark. 3 years in a row of being an effective player. 3 years in a row of being the kind of guy that a Stanley Cup contending team or a team like the Avalanche in general would love to have. Let's look at the Avalanche's roster. You got a guy in Ross Colton who's got the same type of sample size. 22, he had 39 points in 79 games. 23, he had 32 points in 81 games. 2024, he had 40 points in 80 games. 3 years in a row with that sample size. 3 years in a row playing on the PP, learning how to play on the PK with the Avalanche, winning a Stanley Cup, going to a Stanley Cup final again, scoring a Stanley Cup winning goal with the Tampa Bay Lightning, scoring game-winning goals. He does a lot of those things as well. This year for Ross Colton, 13 goals, 3 assists, 16 points in 42 games, struggling like hell lately. The reason why Lawson Crouse entices me is there a world where Armstrong, Bill Armstrong, that is, and Chris McFarland get on the phone and say, we both got guys that need a fresh start. How about we take 27-year-old Lawson Krause, who makes $4.3 million for two seasons, and you take 28-year-old Ross Colton, who makes $4 million for the next two seasons. You save a little bit of money, same term. We both get guys who need a bit of a change of scenario. Who says no? Who says yes? Can you build something around that, or can it simply be a one-for-one? That's something I want to keep an eye on because that sounds intriguing. Again, this is a made-up scenario that I'm creating, but it just makes a whole lot of sense. So he's on the trade board, and it's something that I think the Avalanche might look at. Those are the type of off-the-radar guys that they tend to go for. You know, Matias Maselli is another player who's been a healthy scratch quite a bit for Utah this year. I was going to say Arizona. Woof. And he's a guy that was on the Rookie of the Year board just a couple years ago and in the Calder Trophy race. And I had him on my Calder Trophy ballot when I submitted my votes to the NHLPA. Or sorry, to the Professional Hockey Writers Association, PHWA. Moving on to defensemen. You've heard me talk about this one before. Seth Jones, left shot defenseman. This one makes sense. Even more now because Seth Jones has come out publicly and said he wants to get traded to a contender, which we didn't quite know at the time. Last time I had him on my trade board almost a month ago. Only thing is, you're going to have to hope Chicago eats some money. You're not bringing in Seth Jones at 9.5. Maybe you do at 6.5. Maybe you do at 6. Maybe you do at 6.75. So he's on the board. Rasmus Ristolainen, same-ish type of deal. Two more years left on his contract after this. He only makes 5.1, so a little bit of retention would help. 32 years old. That's another kind of right shot defenseman that could help. My favorite of all the defensemen on the market in terms of fit is Mario Ferraro, left defenseman, San Jose Sharks. The Avs and Sharks have made trades here recently. Ferraro is 26 years old, makes $3.25 million. He's a UFA next summer, 2026. So you get him for one more year at 3.25. He is a left shot defenseman, so it would give you Devontae, Sam Girard, and Mario Ferraro at 1, 2, and 3. If you ever want to play him on the top four, if you have an injury and you want to put him in the top four, you can shift Sam Girard to right D. Because if you guys remember, when Devontae first got here, Cale Makar was still playing with Ryan Graves that first season. Devontae was at left D playing with Sam Girard on right D, and they looked pretty good together. So you can do that with Ferraro and Girard if needed. Also, fun fact, for those who didn't know this, and you know, I'm sure a lot of you did, maybe, Mario Ferraro was the left shot defenseman that played with right shot defenseman Cale Makar at UMass when they made their run together in 2019. So he's also got some familiarity there. He has exceptional leadership qualities. San Jose loves this guy, and I think he would fit in really well with the Avs room. Trade board ends with two veteran rental defensemen, a left shot in Matt Grizzlick, a right shot in David Savard. Two guys that make 2.75 and 3.5, both UFAs in July. They probably won't cost a lot. Those are the if all else fails, pull this to get some depth on defense on your third pair, which Lord knows this team needs. So that's it for the trade board. I also have one new addition. So I got some guys off. I took Ivan Provorov off because I don't know if Columbus is going to trade him anymore. They want to re-sign him. I took Rasmus Anderson off because Calgary Flames general manager Craig Conroy straight up said, I'm not trading this guy. Guys that were traded off the board, JT Miller, Michael Granlund, Morgan Frost, Marcus Pettersson. Guys that are honorable mentions, I always used to have Matthew Olivier, Nick Bjugstad, and Ian Cole. I have a new addition. It's Sam Bennett of the Florida Panthers, which sounds crazy, I know, and he is a dream pickup, I know. The reason why I say him is because after the Avs chose long-term certainty over keeping Rantanen as their own rental, I can't help but think other teams might do the same thing. Bennett is a UFA this summer and could be one of those guys Colorado targets if the Mittelstadt for Nelson scenario happens. So if Mittelstadt is traded for Nelson and it opens up cap space in the summer, maybe this is the guy the Avs target. However, the Panthers are still hoping to re-sign him. They probably will re-sign him. But again, we all thought Mikko Rantanen was going to sign too, so who the hell knows? But if Florida decides to go the route that Colorado did and bring in players with term or assets for a guy who might be going out the door, while contending for a Stanley Cup, Sam Bennett, come on down. He's under honorable mentions for me because of all the reasons I just listed. It's a very unlikely scenario, but I put him there anyway. So that's 3.0 trade board. There's a lot more to talk about with each of these players. I kind of just did a little bit of a rough run through every single one, and it took me only about 20 minutes. So go to coloradohockeynow.com, subscribe to the email list, and this is a free subscription. This isn't for the paywall content. This is just to get an email every time I publish an article. It's right on the website. As soon as you click on an article, don't miss a post. Enter your email address to get all of our posts in your inbox. This one is titled NHL Trade Deadline 2025, Desperate for Depth Scoring, Avalanche Trade Board 3.0. That's it for today. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. I hope you guys enjoyed this Avalanche hockey coming up tonight and for the next 6 games, all at home at Ball Arena. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.